Welcome to the Stella Effect podcast channel. We are big dreamers who love the idea of bringing heavenly inspiration to this old planet of ours through writing music, telling stories, and creative collaborations. We want to inspire people to pursue their dreams as well as share in the stories of other trailblazers doing the same. So, join us as we share inspiration and practical advice on various topics with guest speakers and the Stella Effect team. Welcome to the Stella Effect podcast series. Today in studio, we have got Megan Kate Swan. She is a private chef, food stylist, lifestyle blogger, and vlogger. Megan, welcome to the Stella Effect.
Hi, nice to be here.
So Megan and I met each other probably about a year and a half ago. And I remember that very first coffee we had and just sharing kind of our journeys and what we wanted to see in our careers and all of that. And I remember thinking, wow, this is someone who I just really connected with in terms of that entrepreneurial spirit and the kind of the drive to make your creative endeavors profitable. And actually, I think the bottom line, doing something that you really love.
Totally.
And not kind of falling into that trap of just doing things to make money or make a living or whatever. Yeah. So I know that you have been all over the place. You're just mentioning now that you've been in New York. I mean, you've done chefing all over the world. She's even been on Espresso.
Afternoon Express.
So, Afternoon Express. Hashtag we have famous people in our studio, just so you know.
Oh, goodness.
Anyway, she also made us promise we wouldn't ask her to sing, so.
Yeah, please.
Anyway. So Megan,
for your sake.
I don't know. I really think you should just believe in yourself.
Old MacDonald, that's as far as it goes.
Okay,
or Twinkle,
well,
Twinkle.
Alrighty. So as part of our podcast, we like our listeners to just get a bit of a sense of who you are. So this is obviously quite a big question, but if we said, who is Megan Kate Swan? Like, how would you describe yourself?
On a personal or professional level?
A bit of both, maybe.
How would I describe myself? I would describe myself as happy, outgoing, caring, loyal, hardworking. And yeah, whenever there's something creative that I can do, I'm there. I love creating something. It doesn't matter what it is.
Yeah.
I would say I'm just, I suppose the word would be creative.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and I've been that since I was tiny. I've always been incredibly creative and, yeah, imaginative.
Awesome. Where did the sort of love of making food start? Did you do a lot of baking and cooking when you were younger, or where did
that
start?
Yeah, I think so basically, with my mom and my dad has always been the cook in the house because he's passionate and loves it as well. I mean, nothing like, you know, hectic, but he loves just doing simple things well. Like, and that's sort of the mantra that I've taken on in my career is, you know, it's the little things. I'm keeping it simple. And my mom, I mean, she excels in omelets and roast chicken. That's her thing.
Is that anything?
Yeah. And then my dad is, yeah. So basically when I was little, I was always interested in the kitchen and food. Mm-hmm. And I would, you know, be tasked to make the salad for the Sunday braai and whatever. So I'd come up with some strange concoctions and grapes and stuff, which I still put grapes in my salad. I don't know. I love it. Or any kind of fruit.
Yes.
So that's sort of my dad and my whole family, we've always been very passionate about food and love food and interested in it. And then another huge influence in my life was our housekeeper, Elizabeth.
Mm-hmm.
And she's a Cape Coloured, so she has obviously incredible knowledge and recipes from generations back.
Wow.
So, before Christmas, I would make little cookies with her and what else would we make? Herzogies and a little shortbread. And I would just, you know, stick the little cherries in. And
yes.
But it was just fun being sitting on the kitchen counter, you know, getting messy and having a good time. And, her fricadelles and her, was it babooti? And, there was so much inspiration around me all the time. And then also so privileged to always have the opportunity to eat out from my dad was saying yesterday, we visited a restaurant in Pinelands called Magic Aroma, which has been around for, I don't know, 25 years.
Wow.
And when I got back from the hospital that same week, my mom took me to La Chalet, which is, or my mom and dad took me to La Chalet, which was a restaurant in Mowbray. And I was, the owner chef, Jürgen, I don't know how you say it, put me on the freezer in my little carry cot and whatever. Back in the day, it was like made out of straw. It wasn't fancy like these days. And my parents had an amazing dinner and I was there on the freezer in the kitchen. Gosh, so I suppose.
Been there your whole life. Yeah,
just traveling and so that's basically where it started.
It's so cool. And I think, you know, if I think of some of my happiest memories of when I was young, it was my granny. She just let us cook and bake in her kitchen and we could make as much mess as we wanted.
Yes.
Which obviously at home, that was a little bit more of a no-no.
Yes.
You know, your mom, which you understand as an adult, you like, she just was quite busy, but granny had so much time. And I think it's incredible. A lot, what we've seen a lot with the podcast that we've been doing is, how often the love for something started at a really young age.
Definitely.
And it's often, like what we found as well, is that's often an indicator of a passion, a lifelong passion, you know, these things. And sometimes people really struggle to figure out what they want to do. And I often say to them, well, what did you really love doing when you were little? Because that's often, not always, but often a clue of a passion that's been there for a long time.
Yeah, I think, actually, I mean, if you go way back to like the beginning, I think my first passion was mud pies. I literally was really good at making beautiful mud pies.
Wow.
Like I had a little section behind the shed and I'd make these, yes, it was mud, but like I'd pick flowers and I'd decorate them. And like, I mean, I know it sounds really weird, but I think.
Food styled mud pies. Amazing.
So, and that I was really grateful to my parents and like my mom, you know, because she let me get full of mud and let me get dirty and messy. And I think that's a very important thing for kids is that, you know, I used to au pair in London for a brief stint. And when I used to bake with them, you know, I used to strip the one kid down like literally to his nappy and he would just be full of chocolate brownies, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, because you can always get them clean. You just put them in the bath.
Totally.
But it's something that's really therapeutic. And
awesome. So from that, you know, those lovely memories and those times around the table with your family and in the kitchen, what made you decide to go into this field as a career?
Well, I mean, I could be honest and say it's because I couldn't do anything else, like, because I don't have maths. I was never sort of academic. I mean, I always worked really hard and tried and my best and had extra maths lessons like every day of my life.
Oh, me too.
But
worst thing ever.
Yeah, I just didn't grasp it because I think I had a few bad teachers and I got a bit like put off. But no, I think I always knew. I just always knew that I would be doing something creative. I didn't know what it was until I think about grade 10. But when I started doing home economics and things like that, and I mean, home economics isn't really, you know, but it's sort of like it's
a good intro.
It's a good intro. I mean, it's like if I think back, they should really redo the home economics like structure of things. But it was just sort of something that. I thought whenever I go to restaurants, you know, I was so lucky, you know, go to London and like eat in this beautiful restaurant and go to Italy and like have this like mama serve me this pasta. And like, that's what made me want to do this was that I wanted to bring joy to other people. I wanted to put a beautiful dish in front of someone and make them happy.
Mm.
So it wasn't like, you know, everyone else was like, I'm going to do a BA this or an accountant or I want to be. It was just, it just naturally happened. It was like a natural
progression.
Progression.
Wow, that's awesome.
Yeah. And then it was just, I don't know what your next question is. So I don't want to go ahead before you.
Okay. Well, let me answer the next question.
Because I'm probably going to answer the question before you.
Well, let me just say that, and we will speak a little bit about your blog a bit later, but your blog does bring people joy. I'm one of those people that it brings joy to. And I just love looking at it, and the photographs and everything is really stunning. So
thank you.
Absolutely do that. All right. So sort of one of the main things that you do is being a business chef.
Yes.
Is that what you would call it?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, a private chef.
Okay.
Yes.
So what's a day like in the life of a private chef? I mean, I'm sure it's different every day.
Yeah, well, it's like for any, in a sense, I'm a freelancer, and for any freelancer, every day is different. But when I'm on a job, depending whether it's abroad or here, it's I mean, if it's abroad, I obviously travel and then I have to get there and sort of acclimatize and set up. Normally, I try and always give myself a day before I start cooking to sort of do orders and just get the kitchen organized. If it's a kitchen, I don't know. Most of my clients that I've built up at this point, I cook for like reoccurringly in a sense. Okay. So like I sort of know their kitchens. I know what they have. I know what I've stocked before. So that's always easy. It's hard when you walk into a new kitchen. I always try and do, if it's a once-off job, let's say in Camps Bay, I try to do a site inspection of the kitchen because some of the villas there can be very like sparse with the equipment and things. So I've got a, like my office at home is like all the cupboards are just packed with equipment, etc. Because you never know what you're going to need.
What you need, okay.
And it can be limiting sometimes sometimes with those kitchens. That's why when I work in the Hamptons and New York, etc. and LA, it's so amazing because I've got the most incredible kitchens to work in. You know, there's no want for anything, you know, it's amazing. So yeah, it's basically a day in the life would be wake up, depends. I normally wake up 5:30, 6, depending on where I'm working, who I'm working for. Some, you know, some people like having a late breakfast, sometimes have early breakfast. But for instance, if I'm going to be working in Plett this December, so I'd wake up at 6, I'd pop down to the Woolworths. They open the doors for me before opening hours, which is amazing. So I can do a good shop. And then I'll come home, get breakfast going. My like assistants will set the tables, etc. And then I'll just take orders from each person. I'll go and say good morning to everyone at the table, and then they'll tell me what they'd like to eat. So it's quite crazy because you're doing sometimes 25 different breakfasts in a morning. So it's like you're your own little restaurant.
My goodness.
And then it's clean down, get ready for lunch, prep lunch, then lunch. And then I normally try and give myself a break after lunch because it's important. I've learned to pace myself. And I'll just have maybe a shower and a lie down, and then I'll be back at the kitchen about like 4 or 5 prepping for dinner. And then it's dinner, and then then go to sleep and the day starts again.
So I guess in those sort of patches of time when you're working like that, I mean it's full on.
And that's why you need to, you know, like I worked for a month now, and then I've got time off now till beginning of December. Obviously I've got my other things happening between, you know, part of my brand with my blog and vlog. And so that sort of fills in, you know, in different shoots, etc. But private chefing, I don't know many people that do it 12 months of the year, you know, because it's they can, but you can only sustain it for so long. And I like to go into a job, you know, physically, emotionally, mentally ready, because it's not only that you cooking and you get tired from cooking, but you're interacting with people all day, and you want to give your client 110% of yourself. You know, you don't want to wake up grumpy. You don't want to wake up, and that's something that I'm very proud of. That, you know, everyone I work for, they always say how happy and you know, calm I am, and sort of like how I bring a good energy to the kitchen. And that's important. But I think if I was to be working all the time nonstop, you know, not having self-reflection, all that stuff, I don't think I'd be in that space.
Absolutely.
When I got to my clients.
Rest, it's kind of that lesson that I think all of us learn, is that rest is as important as the work, you know.
Totally, it is.
That's what gives you the energy to do the work. And it's, I guess, learning to recognize what your own capacity is and then working within that.
And I find also, like, in the industry, sometimes like people become, like chefs become resentful. Oh, I work so hard and I'm so tired. And, you know, like that's because they don't rest. You know, you need to learn to stop, and you need to learn to like reflect on what you've done, how you can improve. And then just have, obviously, personal sort of that whole, you know, at the moment, hashtag self-love, self-care.
Hashtag look after yourself.
Yeah, hashtag. Yeah. So that's at the moment, you know, so that's important. And to be fit and, it's just good to recharge. So that's why I never try and schedule too much at once. Yeah. And the universe has a good way of working for me, that it always brings work at the right time. So,
I love what you're bringing out there, because, you know, that's something that we have also seen in the music industry and, you know, in our stuff, is that there's actually nothing worse than a grumpy muso or chef or whatever. And often with that kind of territory comes the entitlement of, you know, people must use me, and that, you know, I deserve this, and I've worked so hard. And I really think that what I've seen anyway is that you actually get more work by resting totally. And being a nice person.
Totally, yeah.
In general, it sometimes takes a little bit longer to work, to build up your client base.
But then you also get the right clients.
Exactly. So, yeah. So it's like, I guess, learning how to work smart as well, which is...
Yeah, which takes time. I mean, I think, and only in the last 2 years have I understood that and realized that. I mean, obviously it comes with age and experience and self-realization and la, 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 but... You know, in the beginning, I wasn't always calm and I wasn't, I was always, I didn't know how to handle my stress as well and all that. But that's just part of life.
Yeah, and you figure it out as you go.
You figure it out and you learn totally. and you grow. And I'm glad I am where I am now because it's much easier.
And it's more sustainable.
Totally, yeah.
And, you know, I think often what people say is like, oh, don't do your passion as a job because you end up ruining it. And I totally disagree.
No, me too.
I think do your passion as a job, but just manage it well.
Totally.
And that way it remains a passion and it doesn't have to become this thing that you end up hating. And I think that's... you just outlining so many great tips of how to do that, which is very cool. So how do you come up with your recipes?
Well, like now, social media helps a lot in a sense. Mm-hmm. Like if I'm scrolling through Instagram, you know, I'll screenshot something. I don't necessarily work to recipes. When it comes to savory dishes, I work by feel and experience and, you know, just knowing food and understanding the ingredient. I mean, some things, yes, I will Google a recipe or, and I have a complete obsession with recipe books and I hunt great ones down, etc. So, but I mean, it's terrible because I get them and then I only look at them 2 months later because I don't always have time. But
yes.
I go through recipe books, I'll put post-its in, I'll take, you know, photos because all of my sort of... research needs to be quite mobile because wherever I'm in the world, I need to be accessible. Needs to be accessible, and I've tried carting around recipe books, and it was not
just doesn't work.
Yeah, you can't buy enough stuff when you're there to bring back.
Yeah.
So yeah, I would say it's everywhere. It's from people to magazines to social media, to watching other chefs, to watching BBC Food, to all little, it all, the way I've learned to learn is through my eyes, you know, and
that's awesome.
And like just to pick up little things and tips, and every chef I work with, everything, I get little tips and then I'll have all my screenshots and then I'll sort of curate them into sort of like a mood board or whatever. And then,
use that to create.
Yeah. And then also it all depends also on the client I'm working for. I mean, for instance, in New York, you know, they were ketosis diet and paleo.
Wow.
So then it completely shifts how you cook, you know, and then you've got to fit in with them. And then now in December, it'll be light and healthy, but yet like, you know, Nutella ice cream for dessert. And like, so it's, you have to be ever changing.
Can I come?
ask. I'll ask if they need a new musician.
Yeah, please do. I'm free the whole of December.
Good.
Wow, that's I love that you use a whole lot of different kind of inspirations for your cooking. That's awesome. So you also have a vlog and a blog.
Yes.
What made you go into vlogging?
Well, at the time, I was with my boyfriend Tim in New York, and he said to me, "You must watch this guy called Casey Neistat."
Mm.
And I was like, "Oh, what is this?" Anyway, So after traipsing around, you know, New York, after, you know, thousands of millions of steps, you know, you're exhausted, and we'd get back to the Airbnb we'd watch these vlogs of Casey Neistat. And I was like, oh, this is so amazing. And how he documents his life and how I just found it intriguing because I find people so intriguing. Like my favorite thing when I travel is to just, when I'm on my own, which is often, is to just sit and watch people.
Yeah,
like
people watching.
I can sit in Central Park for an entire day and just watch the people. It's incredible. And at the time, Tim, he's a cinematographer, videographer. And so he offered me a lot of advice and information and was obviously very helpful in the process. And I've always just been, once again, it's that creative flair. I just wanted to create all the time. I want to create, whether it's creating a little Instagram story, which people don't think is a lot, but it's part of your creative process.
Totally, yeah.
You know, and all the little things that add up, and making a card for someone for their birthday. I mean, it's all random, but just constantly creating. Mm. That's me. Like, no, like this weekend, I want to work in my garden. That's creating.
Yes,
so,
yes.
So yeah, it was just naturally, I thought, okay, well, a vlog is awesome. And, you know, I can, the camera that I need is accessible to me. I can get it. Mm. And then I just started and I just had fun. And it was, it wasn't about like becoming famous or, you know, anything like that. It was just about documenting my life and being able to look back on it one day.
Yes. And then, that's such a cool way of thinking about
it. Yeah. And then the blog just happened that I was like, I just love taking photos. And, you know, you can only post so many photos a day on Instagram. So
yes.
It's like a whole unwritten rule.
Yeah.
So I wanted to offer people something. I try to, in my blog, which is mostly based on food, but I don't want to restrict myself. Not because I want to go to every single event, because I hardly go to events. It's just too much. But it's because whatever I experience, that a good experience, I want to share with people. So I don't want to say I'm only a food blogger or I'm only a travel vlogger,
because
I have a lot to offer.
Yes.
So, and I just try in my recipes, you know, I do like a step-by-step sort of guide of how to do it, which not a lot of other bloggers do. And also offer tips, that important tips that, you know, not just like mix this, do this, okay, and then you have a bread. Like, why do that? Why, you know, but not become too hectic that it gets boring.
Yes.
So it's hard because you also put a lot of pressure on yourself being a qualified chef. You know, people have an expectation on you. So, but I'm not taking it too seriously. You know, it's just fun, creative.
Again, coming back to that thing of just being creative, putting creative things out there.
I put a lot of pressure on myself in everything. And like with my blog, I haven't been able to get a post up because my computer's been like decided it's on a holiday, you know, and I haven't had time to sort it out. And like, so I've got a keto brownie coming out soon, and I've got all the photos ready, everything's ready to go, but I just can't get it up. For a few days, I was so sort of stressed out about it. And I was like, you know what? Like, no one's like freaking out.
Yeah.
I'm fine.
Yes. No one's dead.
No one's dead. Yeah. No one's going to die without this brownie recipe.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
When it happens, it happens.
Yeah.
So that's the way you have to sort of. So yes. I don't think I'll ever be like a super huge, serious blogger because that's not my profession. But it's a side project, like collecting stamps or whatever.
So. You know what I also really enjoy about what you're saying is, and it's something that I think we're seeing more and more, we creatives aren't just doing one thing.
Yes.
They have like side things going on, and really seeing how all of these different things can feed into each other. And, you know, as a chef, you can then have a food blog or a lifestyle blog or whatever. And kind of, I think, again, like having that diversity of things going on also keeps you from getting bored.
Yeah, or stagnating.
You kind of constantly, you also have access to a wider range of people.
Totally.
Which is also, I think that I've noticed, like, that is something that kind of keeps it fresh and fun, which is
important.
And
that's, I think, the biggest thing in most industries that are creative is how you network and how you sort of build those relationships and those friendships. And, I mean, I'm creating such incredible friendships through Instagram. I mean, I know it sounds weird, but I see someone that I like what they're doing, I compliment them and I say, you know what, I'd love to meet for a coffee one day because I just love what you're doing. It inspires me. And then basically it goes from there. But yeah, and I think as well, this whole journey has also sort of led me more into sort of the social, you know, media marketing PR side of things. And that's really exciting for me and something that I can do in the future, because what I do understand and I do know is that private chefing is not sustainable forever.
Yeah.
You know,
is hard. Yeah.
I mean, some people do it forever and that's until they're 50 or 60 or whatever. But for me, you know, I just turned 30. So and, you know, I do want to have children one day and be married or whatever. And that's not fair to put that onto your family. So, you know, if I were to do like one night things, you know, in Cape Town, I don't know wherever I am in the world, but I need something in the long run you know, I don't want to get to 50 and be like, oh, I can't actually do anything else.
Yeah.
And I have understanding.
Other avenues.
So that's sort of how I'm trying to think of it. Like eventually one day when I'm old and frail, then I can.
Yeah, I think creating, I call it having lots of work pies.
Yes, totally.
You know, where you sort of over a long period of time, and I think having a sort of long-term view is really key here, but developing lots of different streams of your skill.
Totally.
And ways that your skill can be used. And it's still your passion. It's still your thing that you really enjoy.
Yes.
But also having that thing in mind where you're not necessarily pigeonholing yourself into one thing, which in the future might make it a hard life choice, in terms of family or whatever.
And if I could just say one thing, which is I find very important, is that, you know, it's hard because as a creative, you never know what's going to happen, and you never know, like, I mean, I'm not going to lie, there's days that I sit and I'm like, okay. But the important thing is that you have goals and you have dreams and you have aspirations, and it's so cliche, but it's so important.
Absolutely.
And I write it down, or in my notes on my phone, or I say it out loud, or I even talk about it. It's putting it out there, you know, to become into fruition. And
yeah,
is that how you say it? I think fruition. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I just think, you know, a lot of people just go, okay, well, this is what I got now, and this is what I'm going to do now, and that's also good. But at the same time, look forward and look to the future. And even if I've got so many, I hope I write a recipe book one day, or not, maybe not a recipe book, but I hope I write some form of a book one day. I hope I'm on a TV show one day. I hope that, you know, that I can cook for more clients, you know, abroad, or like, I don't know. I've got lots of little dreams that are like, you know, and, you know, I want to have my own company that, you know, services like the PR to, you know, chefs and whatever.
Yes.
There's all different things, but, and it might not happen, but at least I'm thinking about it.
Absolutely. And the thing is, it's as you say, it's creating, because when you say something, or when you set an intention,
totally,
it's so much more likely that those things will come to pass.
Yes.
Than if you don't, you know.
Yeah, you just put it out there, and it's totally, just being positive.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and it's hard sometimes as a freelancer to be positive. We all know. Yes. It. It's like when you got that last can of tuna, and you're like, should I give it to my cat, or should I have it? It's you know, and that's the thing is, you know, as a private chef, yes, you do make a lot of money, you get good money, and you travel, whatever, but that's, you know, that's for a month or 3 months, whatever.
Yes.
Then you got to get to the next bit. And then you've got, you know, so whenever you've got to follow the summer. So wherever there's summer and there's, you know, vibes, that's where private chefs found generally.
Yes.
Unless you go to like Aspen or something. But so it's hard. And, you know, it's not many people, like a friend of mine, Alex, who's just released a cookbook, a brunch across 11 countries. I work with her in the States, and, you know, she works 8 months of the year. So it's still, it's very rare you find a private chef that works 12 months a year. So there's always those few months that you got to find something and you got to hustle. And and it's, I think it keeps you on your toes.
Yes.
And I don't,
you can't afford to get lazy, or, you can't afford to
go on holiday.
That also.
Yeah, you're never on holiday when you work for yourself.
Yeah, we know this.
Yes.
You know, because I think often people who are sitting at their jobs, and you know what, we always say, if that's what you want to do, that's amazing. But for people who are sitting there with these aspirations and these dreams of doing other things, you know, I think they often look at this and they'll see maybe your photos, or they'll be like, wow, you know.
She goes for coffee at 10 o'clock in the morning.
It's the best. Like, well, that's amazing. And I think it's so important for us to be real about the challenges of of this work, you know. And would we change it? No, not at all. Like, love it. But at the same time, it comes with its own sacrifices.
Yeah, and like your parents always like, what are you going to do with your life?
Yeah.
Like, even though you're like a successful private chef, like, I'm like, I've got like billionaire clients. Okay.
I think I'm on track.
Yeah, what are you going to do for like this month? Well, I'm going to be busy. Like, you know what I mean? I'm hustling. That's a shout out to you, mom and dad. No, my mom's a bit, my dad's chilled. He knows I'm on the right track, but mom's, but that's what parents, they're meant
it's
to worry.
It's their job.
Yeah,
it is their job.
So, but like, you know, when you go for coffee with a friend you haven't seen in a while, and they're like, so what are you doing? Like, I'm hustling, I'm working.
Yeah, I'm hustling my ass off.
Yeah, like I'm, every day I'm like trying to find a connection, or, you know, everyone I meet, there's something there that is a possibility. Either not only for me, it's not only about me, it's about for them as well. You know, and it's like, that's the thing. If I get a client asking me for, you know, to work for them, and I'm busy, you know, I know I pass it on to the next chef. I don't go, oh, well, you know, I don't want anyone else to have that job, maybe they'll do better than me, because that's what some people's mentality is, and it's bizarre. And it's about, just collaborations and people coming together and creating amazing things. And I think that's what's very special about South Africa, which I love about it, is that people are so open to sharing sort of their feelings, their vision, their creativity, and that's why a lot of great stuff comes out of this country.
Absolutely. Yeah, and I think what you're saying is so it's so important, is this idea of not feeling like you need to keep everything to yourself. No. And as we mentioned a little while ago, it's something that we're very passionate about is creating collaborative spaces where actually if you benefit, I benefit.
Totally.
You know, and it might not always...
And then
always,
someone else will benefit.
Exactly. And it's not always maybe a financial benefit straight away, but over time you do start to see that actually becomes part of it
totally,
as well.
Totally, yeah. Know? I mean, like in 2 years' time, you could be like, I don't know, on CNN. I don't know, like doing CNN's podcast or something.
Possible, yeah.
So like, and then like, you're like, I remember that like chef, that little like nobody Megan.
Totally.
And then you bring me on CNN,
okay, Megan, we'll do it, I promise.
You know what I mean? So you never know. And that's like something my dad's always taught me. I always forget the saying, but it's something like, you know, careful who you hit on the way up, because you never know when you're going to be coming down, kind of vibes.
Yes.
I don't, that's probably not the right saying. I'm terrible like with jokes and sayings and repeating things, but something, you get the gist of it.
Yeah,
and that's true. You know, it's like you never be a big deal.
I love that. Don't ever get too big for your own boots.
Yeah,
you know, and I think it's about having a respect for every single person that you meet.
And yourself.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And valuing yourself. And
the relationships that you've built. And when you do become like a chef to a billionaire in New York, don't forget about the small guys behind. You know what I mean? Like, just because they haven't had the opportunity doesn't mean they're not as good as you.
Absolutely.
Or they're not as talented.
Yes.
And, you know, it's just... people just need to realize where they came from. You know, I mean, I had a great foundation. I went to Silwood. It was great. You know, all the rich kids like in their Range Rovers, and it was lovely. And I'm grateful to Silwood to a certain degree, but I also learned an incredible amount and was helped a lot along the way by other people.
Yes.
You know, restaurateurs, you know, chefs, and then just general people. And I just feel that it's all about, just helping the guy next to you.
Yeah.
You know, that's how you grow.
Yeah, and absolutely. Yeah. That's, very wise words there. So what advice do you have for budding creatives, maybe wanting to make this kind of your field their vocation, or, I mean, to creatives in general?
I think when you want to do something, do it.
Mm-hmm.
Don't let any sort of doubt or anything cloud your mind and, you know, make you worry that it's not the right thing. Like, I mean, I had in the back of my mind all the time, like, I should have a corporate job, like, you know, in Woolworths, you know, something, doing the food stuff. And, you know, it'll keep my parents, you know, happy. They don't have to worry, and I'll be happy and I don't have to worry. And, you know, all those things that sort of society have conditioned us to think feel. And at the same time, that it's good to go with the flow, it's also good to flow upstream and to do what, just go with your gut. Like, if you feel you're working at KPMG, good luck to you, but if you're working and you feel like you want to change, do it. Like, be sensible about it. Don't just be like, I mean, I've learned the hard way. I mean, I've resigned from a job with something else. I'll never do that again. You know what I mean? You learn, and that's only comes with time and experience. But, you know, set something up, have something. If you're working at KPMG as an accountant and you're worried you're not going to have a job, then, you know, start doing something on the side, you know, or, you know, start just writing things down, or, you know, just have a dream.
Yeah, start somewhere.
Yeah, it can be nowhere. It can be, but yeah, just start somewhere and stick to it. Don't do it and like for a month and then stop.
Yes.
Because that doesn't create success.
Absolutely.
It's got to be like, you just got to keep slogging. And like, it's the same. I mean, it's obvious. It's like not, you don't have to be like a, you know, whatever the word is, brain, what's it?
Genius.
A genius, whatever, to figure it out. You just got to keep to it. You know, you just like got to keep doing the podcast. You got to keep doing the vlogs. You got to keep doing. And it doesn't, if you can't do it every week because you have a 9-to-5, that's fine. But just stick to it.
Totally. I think a lot of the time you feel like it should look like something already, or it should have a million followers or whatever it is. You know, we set these things,
unrealistic
goals sometimes, or it's that would equal success. Whereas actually for us, I mean, for us, we've put a blog or a podcast out every week for, I think, 14 or 15 weeks since we launched.
Exactly,
we've done that.
Yeah.
And that's, for us, that's success.
That's,
you know,
such an achievement.
It's about recognizing, you know what? Yes, it's maybe not where we want it to be, but it's somewhere.
But it takes time. And also people need to also understand that you're not going to make money in the beginning.
Yeah.
Especially if you're not qualified or have experience. If you're starting out, then you need to do things for free. You need to do product swaps and things like that. And I know a lot of, you know, especially in the blogging scene, you know, that everyone goes on, you know, you mustn't accept anything. You must be paid for it and whatever. Mm. I agree and disagree. If for instance, for me, I don't have a huge following on my blog. Mm. I don't feel it's right really that I take lots and lots of money for a product. Like, you know, I did a recent collab with Zana, and like, so they gave me a shopper and I went shopping at a market, and then they gave me the money for the ingredients. I'm more than happy to do that because they have like 54,000 people following them on Instagram.
Amazing.
So for me, that's something, yes. You know what I mean? I gain
social
followers.
Yeah,
I gain,
totally.
You've got to be, you can't just be like, I want money. Like, yeah. Yes, money is important. That's what buys the tuna. But at the end of the day...
For your cat.
Yeah, for my cat. Yeah. But at the end of the day, you've got to build slowly. And if you want to start somewhere, it takes time. You know, like my brothers, they, when they first started working for my dad, I mean, they had to pack shelves. And like, I'm not even sure they got paid. Mm. You know what I mean? But like now my one brother is the director of the company. But you have to, I've been taught, you start at the bottom and you work hard until you work hard enough to get to the top.
Yeah, absolutely.
So,
and it doesn't come overnight.
No, not at all.
So you are on Instagram, you've got a blog, you've got all sorts of things going on. Where can we get hold of you?
I hope I know my own handles. So Instagram, it's Megan Kate Swan on Instagram. On Twitter, it's Swan Megan Kate.
Okay.
I think Swan Blog. And then Facebook is the Swan Blog, and my blog is at www.swanblog.net. Mm-hmm. And then if you just search me on YouTube, Megan Kate Swan, I'll be, that's where I am with my 169 subscribers.
Stunning.
But it's fine. It's, you know, it's, it all takes time, and I, you know, I don't work at it hard enough for it to be, if I know that if I was to put out a vlog every week and I was to like really up my game and get lighting and like, you know, those kind of things, they do help, you know, but you can also not, you can also just use natural light. But I'm saying like those small things, because like the YouTube space is really of a high standard recently in the last year.
More and more people, it's becoming more like TV, actually.
Yeah, it's basically, it's like in the beginning, YouTube and vlogs and was just like a handheld camera and you were just, you know, it was chilled. Now it's like, you know, you've got to have the
rig and the
Sony A7S and whatever and la la la.
Yeah.
And so it gets a bit hectic, but I think you just keep sticking to what you're good at and what you enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
And you just, also with all your content and with anything you do, just be honest who you are and who you are as a creative, because your authenticity and your honesty and all that will come through, because people pick up on that very quickly, especially in social media, if you're not really who you are.
Mm-hmm.
So I think just be true to yourself and do what you love and you're on the path to success.
Awesome. Megan, it has been such a fabulous conversation with you.
Yeah, it has.
There are just so many pearls in there. Thank you for coming in and wishing you the absolute best with your career and your business.
Thank you, Carol.
And we will follow your development with much excitement.
And I'll see you on CNN.
See you on CNN, bro. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, thanks.
Cool.
All
right.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to this edition of the Stella Effect podcast series. For more information, get in touch with us on thestellaeffect.com or follow us on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram at The Stella Effect. We would love to hear from you.